The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 14, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 15th, 2015, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tate Nukampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatmakatang Vapakam Ridvangvapurvi Vidadam Namaste Jivetayo Mukti Pade Sadayabak. Translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions for his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is certainly eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamuscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacya Desha Tarine. So we always say that becoming Krishna conscious means to become completely free from all suffering, to always be swimming in an ocean of transcendental bliss. But this verse is stating that the devotee suffers the reactions for his past misdeeds. Now one could say this is contradictory, isn't it? We're saying there's no suffering for a devotee. He's relishing the bhakti bliss 24 hours a day. So how can he be suffering the reactions for his past misdeeds? So what is the proper understanding, one could ask? And now we will answer that question in tonight's lecture. We hear from Srila Prabhupada, and it is stated by Krishna, sarva papebo mokshyasyami. If you surrender to me, I will deliver you from all of your sinful reactions. So then one can also ask, well, if he surrendered, then why is there any more reactions coming? There are token reactions that come even after one is fully surrendered to Krishna. Some small percentage of what you actually deserve still comes. So practically, you're relieved from all sinful reactions. But there's a little token that comes. So how you view that token will make a big difference on your consciousness. If you think that Krishna is cheating you, then you're going to have problems. You're not going to be happy. If you actually see how Krishna is blessing you by these resultant token reactions, then you're going to be in bliss. Mm-hmm. So the experience may be the same externally, but how you see it will make a world of difference. One who has actually advanced in Krishna consciousness he sees and feels the love of Krishna coming upon him at every minute, in all circumstances. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly. He's always feeling and experiencing and tasting the loving mercy of Krishna. It's not always easy to do that. Even Prabhupada admitted he was sometimes perplexed. There is one pastime. This is just before Prabhupada formed the GBC body. There was some contamination which had entered into ISKCON. Some godbrothers of Prabhupada had said, you should not call him Prabhupada, that's only for Bhakti Siddhanta. So there was some subtle contamination going around ISKCON at the time. And Prabhupada noticed different things. Like something could be printed without saying Founder Acharya on it. He noticed different symptoms of the subtle poison that had entered in the body of ISKCON. And he was very, very disturbed by it. He didn't blame all the devotees, but he knew there was a few devotees who were doing this. This subtle poison had entered in and it was circulating around, and he was very, very disturbed. He was in Los Angeles and he called. There was no GBC at that time. Prabhupada was managing the whole thing himself. There was no GBC. So he called together leading devotees from all over the world. He called Tamal Krishna from Europe. He called Bhagavan. He called Brahmananda, different devotees. He called them all together in Los Angeles. And in his privacy of his room, he told Tamal Krishna, he said, get me out of here. Prabhupada was so disturbed by the poison that had entered into ISKCON. He said, get me out of here. He said, where would you like to go, Prabhupada? How about Florida? Now, Florida is 3,000 miles. He said, that's not far enough. That's actually when Prabhupada decided to go to India. He had to get away from it. It was very disturbing. And this poison had entered into ISKCON. He prayed to Rukmini Dwarkadish. He told us later on, he said, why are you kicking me away? Prabhupada felt he was being kicked away by Rukmini Dwarkadish. He couldn't understand. Prabhupada could not understand what was going on. So he went to India and the preaching took off like a rocket. Incredible success in India. Amazing success. And then Prabhupada understood it was Krishna's arrangement. You understand? So the point is, even when something appears to be very bad, Krishna has something good in mind. So this is the secret of how to never suffer. You have to have faith, that's all. You have to always have faith. Krishna never does anything bad. And everything is orchestrated ultimately by Krishna. Everything. So you have that unflinching faith in Krishna. I don't understand why this is for my benefit, but I accept that Krishna is doing something and it's for my benefit. If you have that vision, then you'll never be in anxiety. You'll always be in bliss. You'll always be able to have loving reciprocation with that beautiful person named Krishna, who is unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly renounced, unlimitedly wealthy, famous and wise. That Krishna, who's the source of everything, the orchestrator of everything, the proprietor of everything. He's willing to reciprocate with love with you at every minute. So you simply have to enter into that loving relationship with the person Krishna. who's controlling everything, except your choice of whether to serve him or not. He leaves that to you because he wants your love. He doesn't want you as a robot. He wants your love. And love has to be voluntarily given. Therefore, Krishna creates you or manifests you as Tathasta Shakti. Tata means border. Sta means situated. You have a borderline consciousness that can go this way, can go to Krishna, can go away from Krishna. Therefore, we are called Tathasta Shakti. Tathasta. Situated on the border between serving Krishna and not serving Krishna. We can go either way. Krishna wants you to, what he wants is you to voluntarily choose, I want Krishna, I don't want Maya, I want Krishna. But he never forces you to do that. If he forces you, you're just a robot. If I picked out, if you were a young man or a young woman and said, now I picked out your spouse for you, a wonderful spouse who will never complain, will always do a nice service, and it turns out to be a robot, this spouse will always agree with everything you say, will never argue, it's a robot. No, thank you. I don't want to be married to a robot. I want a person. I need a person to associate with, not a robot. Is it? So Krishna doesn't want robots in his kingdom. He could have millions of robots, but he can never be satisfied with them. He wants persons to associate with. So therefore he gives everyone that free choice, love me or leave me. So sometimes we stupid people make the mistake. Stupid, extremely stupid fools. We make the mistake, I think I will leave Krishna. I think I will be my own Krishna. Find my own Radha. You see? It's very painful for Krishna. But he does not interfere with our choice. He gives us all facility here to try to enjoy separately from him as Brahma, as Indra, as a king, as a football star, as a pauper, as a tree, as an ant, as an ant eater. All facility, however you want to try to enjoy separately from me, I'll give you all facility. It's like my mother told me when I was a little boy, she said, Stevie, if you want away from when I want away from home, just let me know and I'll pack your bags for you. Krishna has packed our bags for us. I wanted to run away from home and he packed the bags. All right. Here, I'll give you a place. If you want to be your own Krishna somewhere, I'll give you a place where you can think you're the Supreme. You can try it. And when you're tired, come back. You're welcome back, you see. When you realize what a foolish mistake you made, I welcome you back to my Trinamba. I'll send you all the help you need. I'll give you a guru. I'll give you a devotee association. I'll give you prasadam. I'll give you the holy names. I'll give you deities. I'll give you all facility to become cured from your psychiatric madness. So, sometimes the cure may be painful. Just like the doctor gives medicine, it really tastes bad. It's bitter medicine. But are you miserable when you take the bitter medicine? No, you're happy because you know now I'm being cured of my disease. The sick patient is not disturbed by the bitter medicine. It gives him hope. I'm tasting a little bitterness now in this medicine, but this gives me the great hope, knowing that very soon I will be completely cured. So therefore, whatever suffering the devotee goes through in the material world after he takes shelter of Guru and Krishna, he doesn't mind. He takes it as a blessing from Krishna. This is part of my healing process. This is part of my becoming cured. Therefore, I have no problem with it. Whatever Krishna gives me is his kindness upon me to help me get out of my suffering condition. Is it? So in this way, devotees can be a living manifestation of that verse in Bhagavatam. Brahma saukhyamantvanantam. For a devotee, actually, there's no such... Even suffering is not suffering. Suffering is another form of transcendental bliss. Just like the other day, I heard about my dear godbrother, Brahmananda Prabhu, who had left his body. And remembering this great stalwart soldier of Prabhupada's army, I was crying. Tears of separation, feeling the pain of his separation. I mentioned this in my daily thought for the day. So one of my readers wrote me, she said, "Well, I hope your pain is gone now." But I wrote her back, but actually, to feel pain, the separation of a devotee, is the highest bliss. So, Krishna consciousness, this is why it's called transcendental bliss. Even suffering becomes another form of bliss when you're actually Krishna conscious. So just imagine if even for a devotee, even suffering is bliss, how much bliss is bliss? You understand my point? So don't remain on the platform sukha dukkha. Being happy and being morose. Don't be caught up on the plane of duality. Come to the transcendental plane. Take shelter of your spiritual master fully. Take shelter of Krishna fully. And you'll be unaffected by the dualities. You become a sage of steady mind. This is the desired state of consciousness. Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati samaksaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who achieves this transcendental platform, he becomes absolutely, completely ecstatic 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances of the temple, in the commute, at work, at school, in the shopping, wherever he may be, even in the dentist's office, sitting having his tooth pulled out. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. He doesn't hanker, he doesn't lament. He's equally disposed towards all living entities, seeing everyone, his beloved family member, even the dog or the ant or the tree, they are all my brothers and sisters. You understand? Mud, and in that state, mud bhaktim labhate param. In that state, he achieves pure bhakti. He comes to the highest perfection, Krishna prema, in which he realizes his eternal identity in the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental kingdom of God, in any one of five primary rasas. That's who you really are. You're not this body. You're not this identity here in this material world as Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. Such-and-such. It's not your actual eternal identity. You're an eternal associate of Krishna. You're part of his eternal pastimes. So don't cheat yourself by identifying with this material ego. Understand, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Jivera Sarupahai Krishnara Nitya Das. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Come to this realization. Do not remain asleep in bodily consciousness. Don't cut your own throat by hanging on to the bodily identification. come out of this madness. Come out of this insanity. Come to the transcendental platform. Krishna consciousness. If you're a member of ISKCON, you should be Krishna conscious. It's not a show. It's real. This is the transformation of consciousness. You kick out bodily consciousness completely. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Not just be a member of a club. I'm a member of the Hare Krishna Club. No, it means to completely transform your consciousness, to become a fully enlightened transcendental sage, completely beyond the material consciousness. That's what it means. If there's some questions, you can write them on the papers and pass them forward. So the devotee, even if he's in a suffering condition, he knows that Krishna's mercy is there. It's not gone. Krishna never withdraws his mercy from his devotees. He understands, I deserve much worse than this, but Krishna has given me only a token reaction. Krishna is very kind. Only a token reaction I'm getting. The devotee is very eager to go back to the eternal kingdom of God. And he's willing to do anything he can, anything he has to achieve it. If I have to undergo some penance and austerity, some difficulties here, it's okay. I don't mind. Whatever it takes to get out of this material world, I'm willing to accept it. And I'm happy to take it, whatever may come, whatever I may have to do to get out of here. It's okay. In this mood, the devotee is always fully joyful. Susukam is described in Bhagavad Gita. Raja vidra raja goyam babitramita muttamam prachakshavagamam dharmyam shushukam katamam yayam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion, and it is joyfully performed. There's sukha, but there's susukha. You see, very, very joyful. So this Krishna consciousness is not ordinary sukha or happiness. It is susukha, transcendental happiness. Mundane happiness comes and it goes. It comes and goes very easily and very quickly. Someone may be described, well, that person is very moody. Sometimes they're very happy, and sometimes they're very depressed. They're moody. What is moody connected with? Modes. You're moody, that means you're modi. You're under the influence of the modes. A moody person is under the influence of the modes of nature. He's sometimes laughing and giddy and joking and bubbly, and then he's all morose and depressed, and then an hour later, you see. He's under the influence of the modes of nature. So Krishna consciousness means you have to find a position, a platform of consciousness beyond the modes. Beyond the mode of ignorance, beyond the mode of passion, and even beyond the favorable mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is favorable to a certain point, but at a certain point you have to give it up. You have to come to the transcendental platform. That's where you find fixity of consciousness. That's where you become completely undisturbed by the dualities. A person in the mode of goodness sometimes is overwhelmed by anger. Sometimes passion and ignorance affect him. You see? But a person who's transcendentally situated, he's never affected by the modes of nature. Never. He's the master of his consciousness. So that's what it means to be Krishna conscious. No longer affected by the modes of nature, you now are a master of your own consciousness. And see, the external situation doesn't matter. You can be glorified as the greatest person in Malaysia, or you can be put in the electric chair and be executed. And you'll be equipoised in all situations. You see? Because you understand everything is acting and moving under the order and direction of Krishna. Therefore, let me simply always remain in his service in all circumstances. And that is my happiness. The externals don't matter. The only thing that matters is you must remain in the service of Krishna. If you do that, you'll be unaffected by anything that's going on here, and you'll always be in bliss. So now we'll take some questions. In chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra alone, is chanting alone enough to relieve us from our karmic reactions? No, you need to join in the kirtan also. If you want to remain aloof from the society of devotees, you're called a bhajan anandi. And you won't be able to actually, you won't have sufficient strength to conquer the anarthas. If you want to conquer the anarthas, you must join in the family of devotees. You must learn, because what is the proof? It is given in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate jana mad bhaktanam. This way. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate jana. Krishna says, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you have to learn how to associate with devotees. You have to chant with the devotees, the kirtan, not just japa only. Krishna was the best friend of the Pandavas. Why they suffered so much? They didn't really suffer. They only appeared to suffer, to make them more glorious. Krishna wants his devotees to become famous heroes. You see? So the apparent suffering of the Pandavas was simply to increase their glories more and more. That's all. What is the real meaning of chant and be happy? It means to become a pure devotee. That's the real meaning. We see devotees getting very chronic disease compared to non-devotees. Why? Well, not all devotees get chronic diseases. Some devotees get chronic diseases, some don't. Some die young, some die old. Same thing with the karmis. Some die young, some die old, some die without any chronic diseases. It's true for devotees and non-devotees both. It's not that devotees are all getting chronic diseases and non-devotees are not. That's not true. Some devotees get. That was necessary for them to help them take shelter of Krishna. That's it. That gave them some extra help in their Krishna consciousness. It is special mercy they got that chronic disease. Krishna gives us a token reaction just to keep reminding us that this material world is not the place of our residence. Yes, that's one of the reasons. To remind us, this is not your home. Don't get carried away. Now you're blissful with the kirtans and the glum jamans, etc. Don't think now that this is a place of enjoyment. You have to remember this material world is a place of suffering. And your only real happiness is beyond this material plane, on the spiritual plane. The token sufferings are good to help us, keep us sober. Sobriety is necessary. If you get too giddy, you're not going to make it. You're going to think the material world is a pleasurable place. So the suffering we get, the token reaction we get after we take initiation and seriously follow these vows, the token reactions are special blessings to help keep us sober and serious. How to become free from Maya? By engaging everything in the service of Krishna. Manasa, get up. Body, mind, and word. Karmana manasa gyada, you see. Body, mind, and words engage in the service of Krishna. If you do that, Maya will no longer be an impediment. Maya is only testing you, actually. Maya Devi is a pure devotee. She's Durga Devi. And she is actually acting in accordance with Krishna's will. She's there just to test your sincerity. Are you really genuine about surrendering to Krishna? Are you some troublemaker posing as a devotee with tilak and kanti mala? She's there to test you to see if you're really serious about being a devotee or you're just making a show. You see? And when you pass all the tests that she gives you, she's going to help you. Instead of apparently harassing you, which is the beginning stage, when you actually prove your genuineness, that you have not a tinge of any material motives in your heart for taking the Krishna consciousness, then Maya will flip roles and now she'll help you in your spiritual life. So we have got to get on Maya's good side by showing her how dedicated we are to Krishna. You see? Even Haridas was tested by Maya, but the prostitute. It was two times the prostitutes came. You see? So we have to be like Haridas, you see. Even some beautiful girl comes and offers herself to us. Not interested, you see. He said, I have my rounds to do, young lady. He tricked her, actually. You want to enjoy me? All right, just let me finish. You stay here, just let me finish my japa. And then we can enjoy, you see. He tricked her into hearing the holy name all night for 3 nights. And after 3 nights, she became a pure devotee. You see? So that's the dedication and faith we must have. Even the material energy is tempting us in so many ways. We're not effective. If one devotee always criticizes another devotee, what should we do? Well, first thing you should see, am I the one who's criticizing? That's the first thing. Are you criticizing someone else here? Are you in the mood of criticizing? First, there's a very nice statement in the Bible. You're seeing the speck in someone else's eye and not seeing the log in your eye. The book of Matthew, a nice verse like that. So it's very easy for us to find, just see that devotee over there. All he does is criticize. Yeah, just see him. He's criticizing. That's all he ever does is criticize. What are you doing? You're criticizing. You see? Why don't you learn to see the good in all the devotees first, you see? The only person who's actually qualified to criticize anybody is the person who can see the good in everybody. If you don't see you can't see the good in everyone else, you're not qualified to criticize anybody. You should only be criticizing yourself. But if you know how to see the good, wonderful things within everyone, and everybody has their good qualities, then you're qualified to point out the faults because you're a genuine well-wisher. You're not envious. You don't want to put people down. You want to help everyone become elevated. Like Radharani. You're a true follower of Radharani. When you want to see that everybody is moving forward closer and closer to Krishna, not caring for your own position. You know Radharani's move? Prabhupada told us in Radhastabhi in London how we should pray to Radharani. He said, this is how you should pray. My dear mother, please tell about me to your Krishna. And then Prabhupada explained, when you pray to Radharani in this way, then she will say, Krishna, just see this devotee here. He is better devotee than me. You see? That's Radharani's mood. She wants to advertise to Krishna, they are all better than me. You should accept them because they are better than me. You see? This is the mood of Radharani. This is the mood you must have amongst yourselves. The mood of Radharani. This devotee is better than me, therefore he is my Prabhu. This Mataji, she is also my Prabhu. You see, in the family life, my father is my Prabhu, my mother is also my Prabhu. So, Prabhus and Matajis, they're all Prabhus. They're all my masters. And then, if you have this vision, then you're qualified to help someone, to point out to them that their mood is not right. You see? First, you make your mood right, and then you're qualified to correct others. How should we behave towards people who are mean to us? With love. Tananda pisa nichena tadora pisa hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should be thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. You should be more tolerant than a tree, offering all respects to others, even if they're completely disrespectful to you. In such a state of mind, you can go deep, 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 deep into Namaruchi. That's Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Now, if somebody is actually harassing you and interfering with your service, then you can show some anger. That's all right. Just like there's the example of the cobra. He became Vaishnava. Before, the villagers were scared to death of him. Whenever he'd come around, they'd go running in fear. But he came a disciple of Narad Muni, and now he's a gentle Vaishnava. So the children are taking advantage. They're throwing rocks at the poor cobra now, you see, and he's being harassed. So he asked his Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni, what should I do? Now they're throwing rocks at me. I've become a gentle Vaishnava. He said, you show your hoods, but don't bite. So, if someone's interfering with your service, your duty that you have to do, then you can show some strength, but don't bite. But the mood is always to be very, very respectful to everyone. That's the mood of the Vaishnava. Always very respectful to everyone. Any more questions? There's no more questions? Anything you'd like to add to what I've said? Okay. So, if there's no more questions, we can stop here. And we're absolutely delighted you've all come tonight. It's not easy to fight your way through the Kuala Lumpur traffic in the evening. You all have done, you've shown your dedication to Krishna by coming tonight, and I'd like to personally thank each and every one of you who braved the traffic to come here tonight. And may Krishna bless all of you with pure love for Him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premananda.